Begin the current daf, Masechet Baba Basra, daf Kuf Chav Dal. Begin on the second line down by the top of the Yamud, where the Gemara continues the discussion of the previous daf, discussing the topic of our perek regarding the halachas of nechalas, of inheritance. Specifically, the Gemara brought a braisa that detailed the laws of bechor, of a firstborn. So on that, our Gemara asks on Mani, who's the Tana of that braisa, that in that braisa we taught, which we were talking about a bechor that was a kayin, that we said that a firstborn takes the increase of value, which the assets increased automatically, even though we know the law is that a bechor only takes what's called muchzik, what the father was in possession of b'chalei she'imatzeloi when he passed away, whatever's row, what's fit for him to get, which is not in his possession at that time, that he does not get. On that, the time of the braisa said that that's what he does not get is only what the yisaimim, the orphans, those who inherited, increased its value. Let's say they built stuff and they dug things, that what they did, that the bechor does not take a double portion. But what increased by itself, automatically, the birth of a child from an animal or things like that, that he does get. So, and that asks the Gemara, who's the Tana of that braisa? And that says the Gemara, Rebbe, it's going like Rebbe. Why? Because we find that it's machlek, it's the Tana in the braisa. Ein bechor neitel pi shnayim. The Tana Kama says, the Rabbanon, that a firstborn does not take a double portion. B'shvach sheshivchu nechasim la'achem misavin. Any increase of value that the assets had increased after the death of the father, that he doesn't take. It's only what was had by him when he passed away. What increased in value afterwards, that he does not take a double portion. Now Rabbi Yemer, he says, Oymani, I say that it depends. And that's like the Tana of the Brice of the previous stuff. That a firstborn does take a double portion in the increase in the value of the assets that happened by itself after the father passed away. But not in the increase in value, which was increased due to the efforts of the orphans after their father passed away. When the Yerushin make it better, there everyone agrees, even Rabbi, that the Bechor does not take a double portion. Continues the braisa, now that we introduced it, which we're showing that it's Rebbe's opinion that was the time of the previous daf. Yershu shtar choif. If the children inherit from their father a document of debt, meaning what's called a milva b'shtar, a loan that was recorded in a document, that's in one of the things they're going through the father's papers now, they find that there's an outstanding debt owed to him from a loan. Bechor neitel pi shnayim, the firstborn takes a double portion. The reason for that is because since they're in possession at the time of his death, meaning the father was in possession of the document. Now, the reason why they collect the loan ultimately is because of the document. So it's as if the document is increasing its value by itself when the payment comes in. The reason for that is because the actual item is here, which is the document. And that's how they collect. So although the collection is a shvach, because the father doesn't have the money that the debtor owes him right now, the borrower, it's going to come in later, but that is like nechasim sheshivchu memela. Because as Rashbam explained, that's only going, this part of the braisa is a continuation from Rebbe's opinion. Whereas according to the Tanna Kamma, according to Rabbanon, actually the bechor would not take a double portion. And rather this is a conclusion of Rebbe's statement, because it's considered shvach sheshivchu nechasim memela. And it says Rashbam, that's obvious from the Gemara on Amud Beis, as we'll see. Now, moreover, specifies Rashbam, this, as the Braisa talks about, specifically a milva b'shtar, a loan that's recorded in the document. But if it was an oral loan, even if there was witnesses to testify, and therefore they're going to be able to collect it from this guy, but since there's no document, and he could say, I paid it up already, because even though the loan was with witnesses, he doesn't have to pay it up in front of witnesses, as the Gemara elsewhere explains, then even Rebbe would agree that the Bechor would not take a double portion. Because when there is no document, then there is no muchzakis here at all. There is nothing that they're in possession of to say that whatever they were in possession of then increased in value by itself when the guy comes to pay it up. Here, there's nothing here. There's no substance over here. It's all shvach. It's nothing here that was already muksik by the father, because there's no even document. They even Rebbe would agree. Rather, this halacha specifically, what like Rebbe, and regarding something that's recorded in the document. Now, continues the braisa, which is its own halacha, which is going according to all opinions, and it's not a continuation of the previous case. It's even if they did not inherit a shtar chayv. Yatza lehen shtar chayv. If let's say that after the father's death, there is a debt that's brought against them, meaning their father owed money. Their father was a borrower, and they owe money to someone else. So here the firstborn has to give a double portion. In other words, just like he takes a double portion. So meaning if let's say there's five brothers and one of them is the firstborn. So they split into six parts and the firstborn takes his portion and that extra portion. So too when the collection comes, when they have to pay up, from that portion and from that extra portion, he has to pay up his share because the assets are indebted totally to the lender and he has to give a double portion just like he takes a double portion. But, says the Braisa, Vim Amar Eini Naisin V'Eini Naito. Let's say he says, look, I'm not giving and I'm not taking from a double portion at all for my father's assets because, you know what, I'm Meichel. I'm forgiving for the portion of the firstborn rights, and I'm actually going to take a portion in the asset just like everybody else. So therefore, I'm not going to pay to the lender a double portion, rather only according to what I'm taking, which is just like everyone else, says the Braisa Rashai. He's allowed to do that. And therefore, when the lender comes and brings him to court, the court cannot force him to pay up, only according to what his regular share is, like all the other brothers. Now, what's the difference? Either way, the lender is going to be able to collect that amount. Who cares which brother it's from? The difference is because now this lender is going to have to bring the brothers to court to collect from them because he's not taking this double portion. And if he cannot force the brothers, then he loses out. Or if, let's say, the brothers go overseas, where the halacha is that although there's a creditor here and he has, that it's shown that he's owed money, the courts do not let him take the land until the court hears the claims of the brothers, because we don't know. Maybe they have somewhat of a claim. Maybe they're going to claim that we paid it up. Or maybe they're going to say that this document is already a paid up document. So therefore, that would be the ramifications where, although he could collect, it would make a difference who he's collecting from. And from this brother, you can't collect more than a regular shir like all the other brothers. Now the chiddush in this halacha, the Braisa, is because you would have thought to say that since he is a firstborn, so the Torah already awards him a double portion, and he can't say, I don't want it to be mine, because by default, it is already his. Because the moment his father dies, he already inherited a double portion until he's, let's say, mafkir it, or until he sells it, or until he gives it to someone else. But therefore, when the lender comes to collect, he would have to give him a double portion to pay up the debt. That's what the Braisa is teaching, that no, against his will, the Torah did not award him the double portion, because the pasuk says, losses lie, which is like a gift, meaning if he wants to receive it. But if he refuses and he says, I don't want to receive it, then we're not mezakah to a person something against his will, because the Torah does not call it a yerusha, rather calls it a matana, losses lie, from the term of giving, and therefore, from that, we can't force him now. However, for regarding from his regular portion, that he can't say, because that is by default, automatically, he is a Yairish. And therefore, though he wouldn't want it anymore, that's too late, he owes that already to the creditor. But regarding his double portion, that's different, that's not a Yerusha, that's a Matana. For that, he can say, I'm not taking, therefore he doesn't have to give. Now, the Gemara now explains these two opinions. My time I had Rabbanu, what's the reason of the Rabbanu who dispute Rebbe in this Braisa and also the Braisa of the previous staff, that they hold even by Shivcha de Memele, even an increase in the value, let's say the cow that was the father had when he died, then had a child, which they didn't invest any money in, it happened by itself, that the first one does not take a double portion. So that says the Gemara, because Amakur, the Pasuk says in Devarim, that regarding the firstborn, the halach is losses loy pishnaim, you have to give him a double portion. Says the Rabbanan, Matana Kari Rechman, like we just mentioned before, the Torah calls the double portion of the Bechor a gift, because it says losses from the term of Matana. Now, Ma Matana, they were just like a gift, Adematya Liyodei, that is, until it reaches the hand of the one who's giving the gift, he cannot give the gift until he himself has it. That's because of the halacha of Ein Odemakan Makna Dabash Label Oilam. A person cannot acquire something to someone else, meaning to, let's say, to sell it to him or to give it to him until he himself acquired it, because if it's not around, you can't be makan to someone else. So af chelik b'chayru, so that's what the Torah is comparing to a gift, so to the double portion of the firstborn, adamat yiliyadeh. He cannot gift it to the firstborn son until the father himself has it, because it has to be like matana. And therefore, regarding any shvach that happens after his death, which he didn't have when he died, even if it happens by itself, you can't say that he gifted, which is what the chiluk of the Bukhari is at the time when he died. Now, Rabbi Aimer, but he says, no, Amakra Pishnaim. The Torah calls the extra portion of the Bukhari a double portion. So, Makish Chelik Bukhari, the Chelik Pashat. So, the Torah is equating the extra portion of the firstborn to the regular portion that he gets, like every other brother, because the term that the Torah uses, Pishnaim, means two portions, which is his regular portion and his Bechor portion. Now, they're both being mentioned in one word, in this Pishnaim, because the Torah could have written, that you split the Yerusha, and that he gets chelik echad alachav. It could have mentioned it individually, that he gets one extra portion over his brothers. But it doesn't. It puts both his portions into one word of pishnayim. So we make the following comparison. Ma chelik pashtet avagav dule matiliya, they eat, just like we find by his regular portion, like all the other brothers. Even if it did not reach his hand, because the halacha is, even what we always call ra'u, which is the father doesn't even have yet, but it's fit for him to get it. The halacha is that a son inherits from his father, because by Yerusha, by a regular inheritance, it's not called matana to say that he only takes whether the father was muchzik at the time that he died. It's not true. The children inherit everything the father had, even if he didn't have it. It was, let's say, the account did not mature yet until a few months after he died. Of course, they can inherit that. So therefore, says Rabbi, Avchelik Bechayr. So to the Torah is comparing the extra portion of the Bechayr. Avagav Delei Matliyadi, the same halacha would apply, even if it did not reach the father's hand yet at the time that he died, still the firstborn will get that double portion, even from that Shivcha de Bemela. Now, however, although we already established that even Rebbe agrees by what's called Ra'u Gamer, a total Ra'u. For example, let's say the father's assets did not have any of that, even to increase by itself. Rather, the orphans increased the assets after he died. There, Rebbe would agree that the firstborn would not take a double portion. Because for that, he agrees that B'chala Sheyimotzilai means to say that the father has to have had it at the time that he died. But regarding a shivcha de b'meila that increases by itself, that Rebbe says that the Torah is comparing the extra portion of the Bechayr to the regular portion that he gets as a pashit, as a regular brother, that is being compared to say, just like by a pashit, is even what the father doesn't have at the time that he died, at least in regards to shivcha de b'meila, so too regarding the laws of Bechayr. The portion of a pashit would be even what's full-fledged row, but by Bechayr, you have the Pasuk B'chol HaShem Matzilai, so you find some comfortable medium, which is by Shivcha de B'meila, there Rebbe holds that the firstborn will get it. So now the Gemara asks, according to both opinions, what do they do with the Pesukim that the other one brought? So ask the Gemara, Rabbanan Nami Hoksid Pishnayim, like Rebbe said, the Torah is comparing in one word the Chelik HaBechayr to the Chelik HaPashit, so why do they hold that the Bechayr does not get the double portion of something that's Shivcha de B'meila? And that the Gemara says, no, they hold Ahu, that term Pishnaim that's equating them, is to teach a different halacha. Is Lamesa Vele Achad Metzra, is to give him his two portions that he's going to take in one place. Meaning, just like the regular portion of a brother, which is one portion, he takes it to one place, so too, his double portion with his regular portion, they have to be in one place. Now the difference would be, is that whatever he gets, his lottery, that it falls out that he gets his regular portion, that's where he takes, without a lottery, his extra double portion of being the Bechayr. So for example, let's say there's two brothers and there's three fields, you're not going to make three lotteries that two will come out for the firstborn and one will be for the regular brother, because if it turns out that the regular brother gets the middle field of the three fields, he's not going to merit it, because if that would be the case, it would come out that the Bechayr would have to take his two fields in two different places. Rather, what the halacha, the Rabban, is teaching from this pasuk is that we make two lotteries, and we make it on the two external fields, and whichever one the Bechayr gets, he gets that field, and he gets the middle field that's next to that one too. Now, says Rashbam, according to Rebbe, you would have to say that this he also holds of the halacha that has to be on one boundary. That's what's comparing the Chelik HaBechayr to the Chelik HaPashit, because they're one in the sense of being in the same boundary. He also learns that from that Hekesh, but additionally learns that from that Hekesh, this halacha of Shivcha de Memela. So now the Gemara asks, V'Rebbe Nami Hoksev Losses Lai. What does Rebbe do with the Pasuk of the Rabbanan? It says Losses Lai, which it's considering the portion of the Bechayr as a matana, which Rabbanan said it's only when the one who's giving it already has it, and how could the father gift it to the Bechayr, this portion, if he doesn't have it yet, it's only something that increases after the father dies. And that says the Gemara, Hahu, that Rebbe holds is teaching a different halacha. Shim Amar Eini Noitlev Eini Noisin, that's coming to say that if the firstborn says, I'm not going to take it, and therefore I'm not going to give it, that's what's teaching that Risho, that he's allowed to do that, because as we said, it's considered a matana, not a Yerusha, and therefore a gift. A person could choose not to take it, and then they wouldn't have to give a double portion either to the creditors. Which Rashbam says, that you'd have to say here also, the Rabbanu would learn out both halachas from this pasuk. From the fact that it says, losses, we see that the Torah is considering the portion of the Bechayr as a matana. And therefore, just like Rebbe pointed out, you can't give it to him. That's why it's the halacha of the Rabbanan, actually, where you can't give it to him until the Noisin already has it. That's like a matana. A person can't gift him until he has it first. Now, from the fact that it says loy, which is losis, that's teaching the halacha of the Rabbanan, and it teaches loy, that teaches the halacha that Rebbe said you learn that from the pasuk, where we learn that the bechor does not merit it until it comes to his hand, meaning, where, yeah, it's like a gift when it comes to him, because if he says, I'm not taking it, then he's allowed to do that, and then it doesn't have to give at all. Now, Rashbam points out that this, that Rebbe saying, you learn that from the pasuk, from losis loy, that if he says, I'm not going to take and I'm not going to give, actually the part about not giving to the creditor, that's not really part of what Rebbe's saying. Because from this pasuk, you don't learn out the fact that he doesn't have to give. That's based on logic. Because since he's not taking, but that's what we're learning out from the pasuk, that he could say, I'm not taking, because again, we consider it like a gift. And a gift the person could refuse, therefore for sure he doesn't have to give to the creditor. So what Rebbe was saying was, Hahu, that pasuk of losses law is telling you that if he says, I'm not taking, because again, he is allowed to not take, because it's a matana, then he's allowed to do that. And then parenthetically, it mentions that this idea, because a person usually is only going to not take the double portion, only because he's going to then have to give it to the creditors that his father owes to, where he says the common phrase of Mali Latzar Azais, what do I need this pain for? That I'm going to take a double portion, that I'm going to have to give a double portion of the debts. I'd rather just be like the rest of the brothers and not take any. And that says Rebbe, learning from the pasuk, that a person is allowed to because it's considered matana and not a rusha. Now, Amar Papa, he qualifies this halacha. He says, Dikla, if their father left over them a small tree, va'alim, and then it got bigger and thicker afterwards. And so to a similar case, if the father left over them ara, a piece of land, va'asik sirtin, and then it gathered around it sediment, earth, fertilizer, and therefore made the land better, says our Papa Dikuli Ami, that everyone agrees, Rebbe and Rabbanan, loy pligi deshakal, they don't disagree that the bechor will take a double portion, even though it increased, it got better in value, because it's still really the same thing it always was. It's still called the same piece of land, still called the same tree. Ki pligi, says Rav Papa, qualifies the machlik, says, when do they disagree? It's bechafura. It's, for example, in the case of, let's say, there was shachas, which is a small little grass when the grain is starting to grow. And then afterwards, bahavishubli, then it turns into ears, real stalks of grain. Or let's say shlufafi, where let's say it was these palm trees that are just starting to sprout fruits. Then afterwards, after the father died, bahavitamri, then it turns into full-fledged dates. It was in such a case that you have the machlegis Rebbe and Rabbanan. Because the marasav, a Rebbe held, as we explained before, shivcha d'meila. It's an automatic increase, which the father already was muchzik in the thing. It just got better. For that, he learns off in the pasuk as we compare it to the chelik ha-pashut, that just like there, it's whatever is going to come afterwards, so too over here, if it's a shivcha d'meila, the bechor will also get. Whereas on this case, the marasav, the Rabbanan held that no, ishtani. Ultimately, the grass changed and now it turned into wheat, and these sprouts of leaves turned into dates, where it's a totally different thing and it has a totally different name, and therefore they hold that that's not what the father had when he passed away, and therefore the Bukhari is not going to get a double portion, and that is where they had the machalikis. Now, says the Gemara, Amr Rabbi Bukhana Amr Bechia, if Asif, the judge, did Kedivri Rebbe, like the opinion of Rebbe, which we said that, again, the Bechor does take a double portion in Shivcha d'Meila, Asa, what he has done is done. So to Kedivri Chacham Asa, what he has done, if he paskins like the halacha of the Chachamim, that the first one does not get Shivcha d'Meila, an automatic increase after the father's death, it's also done. And in other words, we don't say if you do like either one of these opinions, that you erred in the halacha of a Mishnah, which then the law has to be undone. We don't say that. Now, what's the understanding of this Pesach? Which one is the halacha like? So that the Gemara explains as we continue to Amud Beis, because Misafkali, he's in doubt regarding this that we say in Erevin, Daf Mem Vav Amud Beis, that halacha k'rebi mechaveri. There the Gemara talks about who do we always assume the halacha is like. So the Gemara says, halacha is like Rebbe when he disagrees with his colleague. Now, he's in doubt, if we say specifically, halacha k'rebi mechaveri, was it specifically if it's singular that when Rebbe disputes his colleague, when he argues with an individual Tana, then we say halacha is like Rebbe. But v'loy michavei rav, but not when he disagrees with many colleagues, because there the halacha is always going to be like chavei rav, and here it's chavei rav, it's Rabbanan, it's many Tanoim that disagree with him, and the halacha is not like Rebbe. Or he wasn't sure, maybe the halacha is like Rabbi, not only when he disagrees with an individual tana, but even with many tanoim in all situations, and the same thing would apply over here. So since he's in doubt, if the halacha would be like Rabbi over here, or like the Chacham, he says whichever one the dayan does, we're not going to make him undo it, because it's not clear which one the halacha is like. However, Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav, he says, Asalas is kedivrei Rabbi. It's forbidden to do like Rabbi. Meaning you're not allowed to judge like this because you're going to be violating what's called Leisata Mishpat, which is deviating from the true judgment, because he holds, as the Gemara is about to explain, that im asa eino asa, if the judge does like Rebbe, what he has done is not done. Because kasava halacha kirebi michavei roi v'loi michavei roi, he holds halacha falls like Rebbe only when he disagrees with an individual tana. But not with many tana, like in our case, and therefore the halacha is not like Rebbe, and therefore if it's done, it has to be undone, and therefore it's forbidden to someone to do like that. Now, Rashbam points out this, that he used the words, which is not so common, asalasis, you're not allowed to do like Rebbe, and not just like the common usage of in halachic Rebbe, is only because before we use the same terminology of, if you asa kedivrei Rebbe asa, if you did like Rebbe, then you do. So he's saying that, no, you're not allowed to do that. But really, that's the common phraseology of, halacha is not like Rebbe, and therefore, the person, if he did it, it would be undone, because halacha is not like Rebbe, michavei roi, v'le michavei rav. Now that was what Rav Nachman said in the name of Rav. Rav Nachman didayama, but Rav Nachman himself said, Mutalasis kedivrei Rebbe, it is permitted to pass like Rebbe, which again is that the Bechor even takes a double portion of Shivcha de Memela, because Kesavah halacha kerebi mechavei Rav, afel mechavei Rav, because he disagrees with the teaching that he said over from Rav, that the halacha falls like Rebbe, even when he disagrees with many tanoim. Amar Rav, Rav says, which the Girsa of the Rashbam is Hilchasa kerebi, but our Girsa is, Asa lasa kedivrei Rebbe. He says that you're not allowed to do like Rebbe. But either way, the girsa is vim asa asa. If he has done like Rebbe, then it's done. Now, what's the reason for that opinion? Because kasavir matan itmar. He held that the way it was said in the Beis Medrash was that we lean in the judgment towards the opinion of the Chachamim, which means to say that initially when someone's coming to Paskin, he should Paskin like the Chachamim. But what that leaves open for interpretation is, but if one did like Rebbe, then it is done, and then we don't undo the halacha. And that's how we generally, when we say this term of matan itmar, it means this idea that we lean towards that, but if one does the other way, then it's done. And therefore, although one is forbidden to do like Rebbe, but if it's done, then it's done. Continuing on this machlekes Rebbe and Rabbanon, the Gemara brings Tanna Rav Nachman b'shar sifri de beirav. Rav Nachman taught a brisa from the other books of the study hall. What this refers to is because what's usually called Sifra de Beirav in the singular, which we know commonly as Sifra, that refers to Teres Kayanim, which is the Brisa that explains Sefer Vayikra. The other, what's called Sifri de Beirav, the plural, is called, for example, the Medrash of Sefer Bamidbar, from the Pesukim B'Yishalchem and Amachna until the end of the Sefer of Elad Varm, the Mechilta, which is the Medrash on Sefer Shemais, from Achidus Elachem until the end of the Sefer, these are all called the Sifri, the books of the Beirav, of the Yeshiva, which these are the Midrashim on the Torah, which that's what the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, for example, that Stam Asni'in, a general anonymous Mishnah, is Remeir, Stam Sifra, regular anonymous Sifra, again, which is Teres Kainim, is Rabbi Huda, Stam Sifri, which are all the other Midrashim on the Torah, is Reb Shimon, Stam Seder Olam, when we have a Tanoic opinion not specified in Seder Olam, which is a Braisa, is Reb Yisi, and a regular Tesefta is Reb Nechemia, and again, like the Gemara there says, they're all going like Reb Akiva, who they're all students of Reb Akiva. But either way, says the Gemara, Rav Nachman taught a certain brisa from Sifri, explaining this pasuk in Devar, which is again part of Sifri. The pasuk there says, and this is in Perek Chaf Aleph pasuk Yizayin, that talks about the firstborn, that Yilosis Le Pishnayim, you have to give him a double portion. B'chala sheyimatzle, whatever is found for the father at the time when he passed away. Says the brisa, Prat L'Shvach, that excludes an increase, Sheshbichu Yerushim L'Achim Yisavin, that the orphans made it better after their father passed away. For example, let's say they built houses on it, or they planted vineyards, or let's say it costed them food or money because they had to pay expenses to make it better. That is not Ashim Matzalei, that the father didn't have when he died. That the first one does not get a double portion. Now, says the Gemara, Avo Shvach Sheshivcha Nochasim L'Achim Yisavin, but what it's telling us is, but if it increased by itself, then shakel. Then the first one would take, says the Gemara, Umani, and who is this price going like? Rebbe, it's going like Rebbe, who he said that he holds that the first one takes a double portion in an automatic shvach. Now, Tani Rami Bar Chama b'shas sefer de Bei Rav. Rami Bar Chama toward a different price in this sefri on that same pasuk. The pasuk says, b'chala sheyimatzei loy, that The first one gets a double portion, whatever is found to the person who died when he had at the time of the death. Says this brisa, prat l'shvach sheshivcha nechasim l'acha meisavin. That excludes an increase that happened to the assets, even by itself, after the father passed away. Now, which says the Gemara, v'chol shekein shvach sheshbichu l'yershon l'acha meisavin l'leishakel. For sure, they would tell us that if it only increased because the orphans made it better, they did actual work, for sure that then the firstborn would not take a double portion. And says the Gemara, mani, who is the town of this brisa, Rabban? It's going like Rabban, they hold that even a shvach de memela, the firstborn doesn't take. I'm reviewing the Mishmol. He says on this topic, a firstborn does not take a double portion by a loan that was owed to their father when he died, even if the loan is recorded in a document. So ask the Gemara, in this halacha, Rav Yehuda Mishmuel, Laman. In other words, who does Rav Yehuda Mishmuel hold like that he had to tell us that the Bechor is not going to take a double portion in the milva? Elam the Rabbanan, if he holds like the Rabbanan, well, Hashta Shivcha, if in regards to an automatic increase, for example, if let's say it was a tree, which had already the sprouts, but it didn't have the full-blown dates or the grass, which didn't fully grow yet, which the father was at least muksik on some part of that thing. Still, even though it's the Isi Bishusa, even though the thing was in his domain, Amir Rabban and Loi Shakal, still the Rabban say that the Bechor does not take a double portion, even though it's there and it just is increasing by itself. He does not take what happened after the father died. So milvah, so regarding a loan, which the father is not mukzik at all on that money. The only thing he has is a piece of paper that just records that money is owed to him. Mibaya, would Rabbi Yehuda Mishmuel have to tell us that according to Rabbanan, that the first one's not going to take a double portion in a loan? So Ella, what do you have to say? The Rebbe would be going like Rebbe. But on that, as the Gemara, if it's going like Rebbe, who holds yes, usually shvach memela, something that the father is mukzik on somewhat, then, and if it happens by itself, that then he does get a double portion. But still, Rav Yehuda Mishmuel would be saying, but regarding a loan, he does not. And that is the Gemara. But then, this way, we learn the following brice that says, Yershar Shtar Chayiv, if the inheritors inherited a loan document that says that the father is owed money, the first one takes a double portion, whether in regards to the actual loan that's owed, and even regarding the interest that the non-Jew owes their father, even that, they're going to take a double portion. So on that, as the Gemara said, Mani, who's this price alike? Loi Rebbe v'loi Rabbanan. Most definitely not like Rabbanan. And according to the interpretation that we have to say now, Rehudim Mishmul, it can't even be like Rebbe. Because he's saying that, seemingly, that this halacha he was saying was even according to Rebbe, that even he holds he's not going to take a double portion of the loan. So who is this like? So the Gemara goes back and says, no, Lo'ilam l'loi Rabbanan. Truthfully, you have to say, Rehudim Mishmul's halacha that was saying that the Bechor does not take a double portion alone was going according to the Rabbanan. And therefore, we could explain this last verse that we just quoted, that regarding when they inherit a shtar chayiv, that a bechor takes a double portion of the loan, would be going like Rebbe, because you are considered muchzik in the shtar, which then the money that's paid up later, including even the interest, would be considered shivcha de memela. But, so then the question was, if it's going like Rabbanan, so why do you have to say that the first one doesn't take, even something that the father is muchzik on somewhat, and it's just an automatic increase they hold that you don't take for sure a loan, which has nothing of it? That says the Gemara Nobi Itzach, we have to say, even in this case, that the Bechor is not going to take a double portion by the loan. Because Solka Daidach, I mean, you would have thought to say that Milva, regarding a loan, Kivin and Nakut Shtara, since the father was holding a document, Kaman de Gavi Dam, it's like it was already collected, and therefore he is Muchzik in the whole thing. And it's not even, it's actually better than Shavchad Memela. And if even according to Rabbanan, that we would think that the Bechor would take a double portion, Kaman Shmulan, that's what we're teaching, that no, the Rabbanan, Rabbi Yehuda Mishmuel is teaching, Rabbanan hold that no, a loan is not considered the father's Muchzik, and therefore, since it's not something that he had at the time that he died, the Bechor does not take a double portion. Now, Shalchem Mitam, they sent from there, from Eretz Yisrael, the same halacha regarding Bechor Neutel Pishnayim B'milva. They say that, Nalak Refidim Mishmol, a firstborn does take a double portion by a loan, which this is specifically talking about because regarding the halacha, the interest, when there was a loan that was made out to a non-Jew. So the firstborn will take a double portion in the actual loan when it's paid back, let's say 3 months later, Avoloi B'ribis. But he would not take a double portion in the interest part. Now, that's the chiddush that they're saying, that even though this loan is written in the document, and moreover, what you have to be saying according to those who sent from Eretz Yisrael, that we'll call the Shalchum Mitam, that a loan is as if it was already collected since he's holding on to the shtar. And that's why we say that the Bechor takes a double portion. because, as we're going to explain, that this Shalchut Mitam is going like Rabbanon too. But still, in spite of that, the interest, even though there's a document and the time for the payment had already passed from when the father passed away, still, the Bechor is not going to take a double portion. Why? Because there's no greater ra'u, which is not mochzik, but rather fit to get, than the case of interest. Because interest is something that was never the father's. So that's something that is going to be a shvach, even if you want to call it a shivcha de meila, but that's not something that the father ever had any chazak on, and therefore, the halacha is going to be that the bechor does not take a double portion in the interest. But regarding the actual money that was loaned, that the bechor will take a double portion in that money that was loaned, because it comes out that the document, the father was muchzik on, which is the corollary, almost like as if he had the money already, because it's almost like the halacha of a mashkin. We're there by a mashkin, everyone agrees that the lender, that if he had a mashkin by himself, that then the bechor would take a double portion because the creditor acquires the mashkin. So it's like the father already had it, and then the son would take it, and therefore the shulchan mitam hold regarding the loan, the bechor will take a double portion, but the ribis is considered a shivcha de memela, as the Gemara explains. Laman, who are the shulchan mitam going like? If it's going like Rabbanon, but we don't understand. Regarding an increase of something that he really has in his domain, like we said, regarding the tree that started sprouting, but then it got into dates after he died. Even there, the Rabban say that the Bechor does not take a double portion. Regarding a loan, would we even entertain to say that the Bechor would take a double portion? How could the Shulchan Mitam be going like Rabbanon? The loan, he has nothing in his domain at that time. All he has is a piece of paper. So what are you going to say? They're going like Rabbi? But that is the Gemara, or the Rebbe Beribis Loi. So good, that would explain why the loan, if you're going like Rebbe, that the Bechor would take a double portion. Because Rebbe holds, yeah, even Shevchad Bemeila, the Bechor takes a double portion. But then the other part of the halacha would be difficult. Then why doesn't Bechor take a double portion in the interest? Because Vatanya learned the Braisa, Rebbe Eimer, Bechor Neitel Pishnaim, Rebbe says explicitly in this Braisa that a Bechor takes a double portion, Bein Bemilva, Bein Beribis, whether in the loan or even in the interest, because he holds that that is considered Shevcha de Memela of the loan that was made by the father to these people. So says the Gemara, Lo'ilim Rabbani. So we have to say that the Shalchu Mitam are going like the Rabbanan. O Milva, Kamanda Gavidami, I have to say that they hold that a loan was like it was already collected. So explains Rashbam that the Shulchan Mitam disagree with Rabbi Yehuda and Shmuel that was mentioned before. Now, they're both going like the opinion of the Rabbanan. But the Shulchan Mitam, those who sent from Eretz Yisrael, they hold that this loan of a document is like the father was already muchzik before he died. Because since he's holding a document, that document is like as if he has a mashkin, as if he's holding the money itself. In contrast to the ribbis, where the ribbis is something that's for sure Shevchad Bemela, he was never muchzik on that money at all. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda Mishmuel was not concerned about the document because he said, nah, it's like a piece of paper. You don't have anything. And therefore he held that, according to Rabbanan, that even the loan itself, the Bechor is not going to take a double portion. Amalei Rav Acha bar Rav Ravina says, continue on this halacha. He says, Ikla Memel Astron Bedarish. A Memer came to our place and he expounded as follows. He said that a Bechor Neitel Pishnayim B'milva Avalei B'ribis. He said that a firstborn takes a double portion in the outstanding loan that the father had when he died, but he's not going to take a double portion in that interest which the non-Jew owes him. So Amalei, so Ravina said to him, Ah, Narhadoi Litamayu. The Nardians, which is a place in Babel, go according to their common reasoning. That is, a Memer who said this halacha held like Rav Nachman that we're going to quote shortly, that they were both Narda. As we find a Memer, as we quote on the Flamen Alf, he says, Anom Narda, no, I'm from Narda, and I hold, etc. Where the Gemara is going to explain that both a Memer and Rav Nachman hold that money that someone owes to his friend, it's as if that creditor is already muchzik in that money. When we have a document, it's like he has it already. And therefore, again, even according to Rabbanan, the halacha is going to be that the Bechor will take a double portion of the loan, even though the father doesn't have that money, but the document makes it as if he has it. Where do we find this opinion of Rav Nachman? Because there's the following machlokes Rabbah and Rav Nachman. Dama Rabbah, Rabbah says, Gavu Karka, if the Yershin collect land from their father's debtor, then Yeshloi, then he holds, then the Bechor has a double portion in that loan. Why? Because the karka was meshubit to their father when he was still alive. He had a lien on that land. So it's as if, since land doesn't move anywhere, it's almost like as if he had that as a mashkin, and therefore we consider the father already muchzik in that land for his firstborn son to take a double portion. But, says Rabbah, Govu Mois, Ein Loi. But if the children ultimately collect money from the debtor, then the firstborn does not take a double portion, because since a loan is what's called loitzanit, no, the money the father gave to that borrower was meant for him to spend it. Now, the money that's being paid back are totally different monies. And those monies, the father was never muchzik when he was still alive. So therefore, that was never muchzik. Therefore, that is going to be considered a shvach that came achar misa bien. For that, the bechor is not going to take a double portion. So depending on what's going to be paid back, says Rabbah, if they get paid back land that the father had a shibud on already, then the firstborn will get a double portion. If they get paid back money, which the father had no rights to, then he's not going to get. But for Nachman Nami, he says the opposite. He says, Gavu ma'ois yeshloi. If they collect money, then the Bukhari does take a double portion. Why? Because he says, very simply, he says, the father lent them money, and the money is what's being paid back. So although maybe you would say it's different monies, but on monies, the father was muchzik, and therefore, according to the Shulchan Mitam, that Rav Nachman is explaining, who the Shulchan Mitam say that regarding the loan, that you do get back, the Bukhari does take a double portion. It explains Rav Nachman, that would be talking about a case of money, because money he gave and money was owed to him, and therefore the money that he gets back, it's as if, since he had a document, as if that money was always the father's, and the Bukhari is going to take a double portion. But, Gavu Karka, but if let's say they end up collecting land for the debt that was owed to their father, then actually says Rav Nachman, then Einloi, then the Bukhari is not going to take a double portion, because he lent them money and not land. And he's getting back something else that the father never had. There, in that case, the Bukhari is not going to take a double portion. Now, that's what the Gemara is saying, that a Maimar, who he expounded that a Bukhari takes a double portion by a loan, which is that he's going to get back money, that's like Rav Nachman, who's also from Narda, who also says the same idea. It's if he's going to get paid back money, and as we'll explain shortly, not regarding land, but if he's going to get paid back money, that the Bukhari will take a double portion. Now, Rav Nachman himself was coming to explain the Shulchan Mitam, that the Shulchan Mitam, who he said, as Rashbam explained, not like Rav Yehuda Mishmuel, that they say that regarding a loan, the Bukhari does take a double portion. And that Rav Nachman is explaining, that's only if they get paid back money, but not if they get paid back land. But Rashbam explains, actually, this that the Gemara said, that, oh, Nahardoy Litamayu, oh, a Mema who says that you get paid, that regarding a loan, in contrast to the interest, regarding a loan, according to the Pinyin Rabbanan, that the Bukhari will take a double portion, that's the same as Rav Nachman, that wasn't coming to exclude the Pinyin of Rabbah, who he said that if they collect land, then the Bukhari gets a double portion in the loan, because a Mema just said, unspecified. He said the Bukhar takes a double portion regarding to the loan, not regarding to the interest. He didn't differentiate between if they're collecting land or collecting money. What the Gemara was coming to exclude from was when we saying a Mamer is like the Nardoyans, like Rav Nachman, was only coming to say, but that he's not like Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, that he said, according to the opinion of the Rabbanan, that the Bukhar does not take a double portion in a loan. And that's what the Gemara was saying, that a Mamer holds like the Shulchan Mitam, who Rav Nachman and Rabbah hold like the Shulchan Mitam, and they were explaining the Shulchan Mitam. They just disagree in the Shulchan Mitam, the fact that you do get, as a Bechayr, a double portion in the Milva. On that, they disagree regarding, so depending on what is collected, if the Bechayr is going to take a double portion. One of them holds it specifically by land, and another one holds it specifically if you get paid with money, according to the Svaras that they both say. But it's not that a Mamer is not like Rabbah. A Mamer could be like either one of them. It just means to say he's like them, which is like the Shulchan Mitam, in contrast to Rav Yehuda Mishmuel, who held that the Bechayr does not take a double portion in all situations regarding a loan, because he considers that as, for sure, not better than Shevchad Memela, because you have nothing over there. And the Rabban hold by Shevchad Memela, you don't get for sure here. Whereas a Mamer held like all those, like the Shulchan Mitam and Rabbi Rav Nachman, then no, because when you have the document is like a mashkin, as if you already have the money, and therefore you would get, as a Bukhari, a double portion in a loan.